And who is my neighbor is what we hear in today's gospel coming from this lawyer, evidently a Pharisee, who was tempting our Lord. This is from the gospel, the 10th chapter of the gospel of St. Luke. And he began, of course you heard, in saying, you know, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a fair question. It's a question that all of us should be asking. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Because we know that our souls are forever. And it's just a question of whether it's everlasting life or everlasting death. Separation from God. So this was not an earnest question because, first of all, St. Luke records that he said he was testing him. But of course, our Lord discerned the intent of his heart. And Jesus responded, as he often did, deflected with a question back to him and said, what is written in the law? What's your reading of it? It's already there. And he was able to give a right answer. He quoted what is known as the Shema. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. But this lawyer, wanting to justify himself, St. Luke tells us, asked him that question. And who is my neighbor? And of course, then Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan, that half-Jewish people who were despised by the Jews, who had fell among thieves, was beaten and left half dead. And we know that the priest went by him and would not touch him. The Levite, the deacon, if you will, went by him and did not touch him. But it was the Samaritan. The Samaritan who had compassion. And I should say that it was not the Samaritan who was beaten, but the Samaritan who had compassion on this man that was beaten, presumably a Jewish man. And we know that he bandaged him up, he poured wine and oil on his wounds, he took him to the local inn, and he put him up. And he was willing to pay the innkeeper even more money should he have to stay. This was a complete stranger in this parable. And Jesus' question was, Who of those three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And of course, the lawyer had to answer, he who showed mercy. In other words, the Samaritan who showed mercy. And those words of Jesus, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise are words which reverberate through times and ages as a command to all of us. As a command to all of us, because in understanding who our neighbor is, not just the people who live on either side of us on the street or behind us or within the same community, but it is whoever, whatever lives intersect us. The person riding in the car next to us, even if that person may be rude and aggressive and perhaps have cut us off. Our neighbor is our brothers and sisters within our community of faith, our neighbors, or anyone that we meet. We are to love them as ourselves. This is a key to really incarnationalizing and fleshing the whole of the gospel. Because if we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, then we must love our neighbor. Even if that person is undeserving of our love. This is perhaps the means by which the church may win the world to the kingdom of heaven. into the Lord. Todd Beamer was a 31-year-old man who had a wife nearly 10 years married, two children, one child on the way. And Todd Beamer left his family. He had just returned from a 10-day trip in Italy with his wife that his company had granted him as a vacation for being a top sales performer. But Todd and his wife, who were devoted Christians, Todd, having graduated from Wheaton College, had devoted himself to Christ his entire life and was a Sunday school teacher at their local Alliance Church. But Todd, returning that night, did not want to leave his family that evening. He could have gotten on a flight. He had to go to San Francisco the next day, but rather chose to spend the night with his family, his wife and two young children, his pregnant wife and two young children. So he didn't board a plane until early the next morning. And as that plane lifted off from Newark, New Jersey, en route for San Francisco, things went haywire. And yes, this was Flight 93, United Flight 93, on September 11th, 2001. There were only 33 other passengers aboard that plane with Todd, complete strangers, but in that moment of crisis, when that plane was hijacked, Todd knew he had to do something. He had to do something. And so he began to rally some of the other passengers and crew members devised a plan to overpower the hostage takers, the Muslims that had hijacked hijacked the plane, and to breach the cockpit where they had killed the pilots and taken over the controls of the planes. And at this time, during this period of panic, people were on the air phones, they're calling home to their loved ones, saying goodbye, perhaps for the last time, and saying about what's happening. And just one of the callers, the listener on the other side, heard what was probably one of Todd Beamer's last words. He said, "Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, let's roll. Let's roll." And from there, they ended up overpowering hijackers. They ended up using a cart to breach the cockpit door and to begin to try to take control of the plane. But of course, we know what happened. That plane went into a roll near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and went into a dive and hit the ground at 563 miles per hour. Everyone on board killed. Todd Beamer, along with those other crew and flight members who risked their own lives to try to save their other passengers, not only represent the true heroes of this country, but also what it means to be a neighbor, to love, to sacrifice for someone that we don't even know. Let's roll became a watchword, a byword, if you will, in post 9/11. These heroes, stories of heroism. Our own John Malloy was able to speak yesterday at the 20th anniversary of 9/11 up at the Eternal Peace Light and talking about his experience at the Twin Towers during that fateful day and of what he did and trying to help and to assist not only his surviving fellow co-workers, but also complete strangers. For those of us who were alive then, we remember the sense of unity and patriotism that our nation felt 20 years ago. We've been a very divided and polarized country for many, many years. It hasn't just been recently, but many, many years. But in those days after 9/11, we drew together, regardless of our race, our creed, our ethnicity, we drew together as one people, as one nation, in trying to heal and rebuild. These stories of heroism remind us of what it means to be a true neighbor. But today, I want to suggest that despite the fact that there have been a total of over 58,000 casualties since the war on terror began at September 11th, the destruction and devastation that is happening right now, spiritually, in the souls of the people of our nation, is much, much more destructive. The invisible world of evil is much more subtle and hidden than the bald-faced evil that we experienced on 9/11, but it's just as real and even more destructive. Are you ready? Are you ready to forgive your brother or sister who has hurt you? Are you ready to stand fast for truth? Are you ready to rescue him or her who is hurting and suffering? Are you ready to proclaim the gospel, not with your mouth, but with your love, with your actions? For in the destructive evil of this world, you're reaching out to your neighbor in love and charity may be their only encounter with the gospel of our Lord, a gospel which brings us to eternal life. Are you ready? Let's roll. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.